Well, this is a real season of drama in the American media. They love it whenever we're heading up to an Olympics, and they like to always give these brief vignettes about certain athletes that have been preparing for years to, you know, face the challenge and be a hero for America and bring home a medal. I don't know if you remember the Summer Olympics just passed when one of our lady sprinters had really kind of a tragic end to her effort. This is Lolo Jones. Lolo is a hurdler, and she was really expected to win a medal and was anticipating this, and she actually, you know, hit a hurdle and her dreams were dashed. Well, just the other day I was watching the brief snippet, and there she was, and it turns out, I mean, this girl really wants a medal. I mean, she is now on the American bobsled team, you know, in an effort to get a medal. She's got goals, and that is to get a medal, you know, one way or another. It's good to have goals. It's good to run to win. It's good, Paul says, to fight not as if you're boxing the air. It's good to be focused and determined and have an objective in life, a goal spiritually. We have a goal this year that's been set for us. That is reflecting God. It's a great phrase taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Where the scriptures say, be imitators of God as beloved children, as Christ has sacrificed himself for you and loved you, the exhortation goes. You know, that theme or goal that's been set for us is really just another way of saying something else that occurs in our bulletin at the front. I know the first thing you did when you got back this semester was rush and get your bulletin out and read the front matter. It's really a scintillating read, you know, for all of you. But there is some interesting information here. There really is. And one of them is a mission statement. Why does Bob Jones University exist? Why are we here? If you asked every man and woman sitting on the platform this morning why we're doing what we're doing and why we're at Bob Jones University, we'd go to this page. And we'd say within the cultural and academic soil of liberal arts higher education, Bob Jones University exists to grow Christ-like character that is scripturally disciplined, other-serving, God-loving, Christ-proclaiming, and focused above. We want you to be Christ-like. That is another way of saying we want you to reflect God. And in order to reflect God, you've got to know and you've got to understand God. That was really the focus, you'll remember, of the passage of Scripture that was our theme passage last year from Jeremiah 9:24, which says, let him that glory in this, that he knows and understands God. And that he is the God that exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness in the earth. And in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I mean, our God is a God who is a God of love, 1 John chapter 4 teaches us. He is active in the world and he wants to be active in the world through us as believing people. He is loving. He is clearly, as the Bible constantly reiterates for us, holy. Listen to the words of Exodus 15, verse 11, where the scriptures say, who is like the Lord? Who among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? In Isaiah 6, 3, the seraphim around the throne of God cried out, holy, holy, holy. God is love. Yes, he is unconditional, generous, self-sacrificing. In order to see the proclamation of redemptive truth through Jesus Christ reach us that we might be saved, we might be transformed, as manifested in Jesus Christ who came as the incarnate God in the world. God is love. God is holy. God is holy love. God is loving holiness. God is a combination of these two great qualities. God is transcendent. He's unique. He's absolutely perfectly balanced in His personality. He's absolutely pure from all evil and set apart totally in His person unto what is good. That is what being holy is. And God has all those qualities that I just described a minute ago concerning love. He's unconditional. He's generous. He's completely selfless and sacrificial in the giving of Himself, in actions and in proclamation for the redemption of every person that can possibly be reached with His good news. This is our God, and we're to reflect God. Therefore, we are to be holy love. We are to be reflecting loving holiness. We are to capture in our life these important qualities, as the Scriptures say to us, that as believing people, as disciples, John 13, we will be known because we love one another. We are to be known as people who are obeyers of the greatest commandments, as Jesus said in Matthew 22, 36 to 40. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. And then as 1 Peter tells us, in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, quoting Leviticus 19, but in the New Testament, be ye holy as I am holy. That's an amazing expectation, isn't it? But let's let these qualities be in tension one with another and understand that when we talk about being Christ-like, this is what we're talking about being as believing people. Now, we have great promises as in the Word of God to lead us to and help us in achieving this Christ-likeness to reflect God. We have wonderful exhortations to this, as 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, both in that context and in the Word generally, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit are committed to us being conformed to the image of His Son and perfected in holiness and perfected in love. And I mean by that, brought to maturity and brought to completion, not brought to sinlessness. That's not possible, of course, this side of heaven. But now, how can we reach this goal? I want you to turn in your New Testament to Galatians chapter 5, please, with me this morning. And I want to look at a short paragraph with you in Galatians 5 that captures, in fact, how this can become a reality for us as believing people. I mean, the Bible is a very complicated, complex book, complicated in some ways, of course, very long. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. It's very helpful that God in His mercy and His revelation gives us places where there's kind of a summative description of what we can do, what we must do, in order to achieve this great aim, this great goal, which God has for us. As Dr. Berg has talked about over a couple days here in chapel this week, we all experience as human beings the great loss of the image of Christ in our life through sin. And we have been redeemed, and it is God's purpose to restore that image of the Lord Jesus in us that we may reflect Him in the world as the light of the world. How we do this is we walk by the Spirit. And if we walk by the Spirit, we will attain to holy love. Or loving holiness. We can describe it either way as believing people. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then what follows immediately after that in 19 to 21 is this incredible listing of works of the flesh, 15 of them, which are examples of works of the flesh. Do you know in the New Testament, in all of what are called Paul's sin lists, there are 93 specific sins and works of the flesh. And those aren't necessarily exhaustive. And then what follows immediately then in 22 to 25 after this are the fruit of the Spirit, which we want to see manifest, which all combined really make a perfect reflection of Christ in the world as we reflect God, Christ being God. But what we have in 16, 17, and 18 is really at the outset of the passage, the how-to. To make this to accomplish this, to achieve this. And this is, almost trite to say it this way, but I'm telling you, when I think of these verses, I do get excited. And I literally, even right now as I'm speaking to you about this, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up with excitement. Because this is attainable. This is doable for you to capture and manifest holy love, loving holiness in your life. That beautiful, symmetrical balance of Christ-likeness can be captured by getting a handle on these verses of Scripture. Walking by the Spirit. Well, you notice that the text begins by just giving us a command. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Really, the first and foundational thing to understand about attaining this holy love in the Christian experience is simply to grasp the terms of the command itself. This is a command. And where there is a command, there is responsibility. And yes, I'm trusting God with all my heart, and I'll get into this a little more in a moment, but I've got an obligation. I've got a responsibility. I've got to step up as a Christian. You know, I praise God that salvation is of the Lord, that it was the will of God to initiate salvation, and it's God who seeks men to be saved. No man seeketh after God, Romans chapter 3. But I'm telling you, there's a profound truth, men and women, in the New Testament that we need to get a handle on, and that is that God expects our cooperation and our response with Him in the process of developing holy love in our lives as Christians. We cannot just be passive about this. It isn't the way it works. It isn't the way God, in His overruling sovereignty, has determined that it will work. What He's determined is, we need to really get serious, grasp hold on this thing, run the race, fight the good fight of faith, really work hard and labor hard. And He's ready and willing and wanting by His grace to respond to us. Now look at this command. I think grasping the terms of the command itself is really the foundational step. What does He say? Walk by the Spirit. Walk. Now, walking can be a great thing, a good thing, wonderful thing, healthy thing. You've got to be careful how you walk. One time, Dr. Thurman Wisdom, now retired dean of the School of Religion, and I were flying to Ukraine, Kiev, Ukraine, to teach in a Bible institute there. And we had a layover in Frankfurt, what was then West Germany. And we ate dinner, had a nice leisurely dinner. It was fairly early in the evening, and we decided it would be nice to go out for a walk. Just relax, talk to each other before it's time to, go to bed. So we walked out of the motel, and we're walking along in these nice German residential areas and just talking away, discussing all sort and manner of ministry things and theological things. And we turn a corner, and then we turn another corner, and we turn another corner, and we're walking along. And all of a sudden, we kind of looked around, and it got a little bit unnerving because we kind of looked at each other and said, I don't really know where we are. We were just walking along. In fact, I looked a little more closely, and pretty soon I realized we were in an Arab section of Frankfurt, West Germany. And boy, I tell you, at that moment, I wished I had known German a lot better than I know German. We waved the cab down, this, kind of did all kind of motions. We knew the name of the motel, and this merciful Arab cab driver, packed these stupid Americans into his cab and got them back to the motel. Our walking was dangerous. Sometimes you can describe yourself as going for a casual, leisurely walk, some for just enjoyment. Sometimes you can do walking. You say, I walked in the footsteps of, some kind of walk you've done is a, in your view, the way you describe it, a significant thing. Where you were, what you experienced. I mean, I've walked around the grounds of Appomattox where the great surrender occurred for the Civil War, calm, quiet out there in the rural area of Virginia. I've walked through the gate of Auschwitz, that terrible Nazi slave camp in southern Poland, and the rows of houses that's now a museum almost makes you nauseous. But, those unusual experiences don't really describe my normal daily life. That is what this is about. It's really saying, in your daily life every day, if you followed me around every day and saw where I walk every day, you would just know what my daily experience is. That's what this is talking about when it says walk daily, routinely, as you do your life. And as you do your life, continuously walk. Presently, continuously walk. How? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. What does that mean? Men and women, we have a treasure in us. We have been sealed as owned by God through this treasure. This treasure is an incredible down payment of a future eternity of riches which we'll experience. This treasure in us is the secret to strengthening spiritually, endurance spiritually, growth in faith, and it is the secret to reflecting Christ's likeness in the world. It is the presence of God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, resident, 1 Corinthians 6:19, in our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, resident, 2 Corinthians 1:22, in our hearts where He dwells, having access to our emotions, our thought processes, our will, our conscience, every function of our immaterial person, God Himself present in you right now. Let the reality of that get a hold of you. Let the reality of that overwhelm you. Let the reality of that help you understand what it means around here when we say challenge your potential. Spiritually, challenge your potential about what you may become, because it is the infinite, omniscient, omnipotent God who is dwelling in your life. And that says to us, men and women, that we can experience remarkable transformation in our life as the Spirit of the living God uses His means to minister the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to our life on a daily basis as the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us constantly every day as our advocate, and the Spirit is operating in us through the Word, as Paul said in Acts 20:32, I commend you unto God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. As you bow your knees to the Lord, devoted to prayer, instant in prayer, constant in prayer, what happens? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And God wishes to minister to you, yes, through suffering and through difficulty as the Spirit ministers grace to your life. Paul suffered a terrible physical affliction. He begged God three times to deliver him from it. And finally, the Lord Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul responded and said, I will much more rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His grace is sufficient for me. In my weakness, His strength is made perfect. Do you realize the Spirit of the living God in you through the ministry of friends with whom you fellowship in Christ at here at Bob Jones and in your churches is that by which the Spirit of God will strengthen and build you up if you'll permit it and allow it? This is exactly what 1 Peter 4:10 is teaching when it says that as each of us have received the gift of God's grace, let us be faithful stewards of that manifold grace, ministering to others. And every time we open our mouth, even let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The Lord has sent, Galatians 4:6, His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it is by this Spirit, Ephesians 3:16, that we are therefore, according to the riches of His glory, strengthened in the inner man by His Holy Spirit. Do you feel weak? Do you feel desperate? Do you feel worn out, unable, depressed, downcast? Strengthened in the inner man by His Spirit. Grieving the Spirit of God. Quenching the Spirit of God. Behaving as if the Holy Spirit of the living God is not even present in us. Ignoring Him. Not depending upon Him moment by moment is to men and women in this life basically let go of, divest ourselves of the greatest treasure of life's Christian experience. So let's grasp first just the terms of this command. And then understand that when we walk by the Spirit, then we do this with confident hope. Verse 16, the latter part of the verse, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We must have a faith-filled response. We should have a faith-filled response. You see, that command, walk in the Spirit, is couched in a promise. God is putting His integrity on the line, and He's making a promise. He's saying, you don't have to live a life dominated by your sinful nature, your sinful character. You can, as a faith-filled Christian, trusting in the integrity of God, believe this promise. That He will help you overcome the flesh. That you can walk in confident hope in spite of the desires of the flesh. You know, all of us has cancer. You recognize that? We're all terminal. I mean, spiritually speaking, we all have sin. By the working of the Spirit of God, though, that cancer of sin can be in remission. It can even be in a state of quiescence so that it's not even perceivable in our life. We can abound in strength and energy and life. We can go forward in abounding confidence, with confident hope, in spite of the internal conflict that exists. Now look again at 17. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Do you ever feel that conflict, that stress, that strain? All right, don't consider that abnormal. Don't consider that unusual. Don't consider the stress, the conflict, as failure. That's fighting the good fight of faith. That is the battle of walking by the Spirit. And in spite of the frustration that comes from that, there's bound to be some sense of frustration. This side of heaven, as we walk by the Spirit, as the Scriptures say, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Oh, I tell you. Nothing fills me with greater disgust and self-loathing than inclinations I have to sin. Nothing makes me long more for heaven than that reality. Nothing candidly frustrates me. But nothing makes me look forward more with clear anticipation and vision to being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ once for all, forever, freed from the presence and the power and the influence of iniquity and sin. I'm going to take this a step further as we look at this passage. I walk in the Spirit with confident hope. Without faith, guys, girls, it is impossible to please God. Every day, every hour, I need to approach my life as a Christian with confident hope in the resources that are in God, in the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit in our hearts as He ministers grace to us. That I don't have to sin. That I don't have to be unloving, unconcerned, uninterested, uncompassionate, indifferent to spreading the redemptive message and doing good works to reflect glory in God. I don't have to be that way. And I don't have to be an impure person with an imbalanced personality who is really only concerned with this world, this temporal life, and material things. I can be holy. I can have confident hope about that. That can happen. If, in addition to going forward with confident hope, I have determined to proceed with joyful meekness. Look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. I like to call this aggressive passivity. Led by the Spirit. What does that mean? The Spirit of the living God leads us in a particular way. Now notice the latter part of the verse says you're not under the law. Ah, yes, we are not under the condemnation of the law of God. We have been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. We will not face eternal punishment. We do not face a frowning face of God in our lives. We are not objects of His wrath. Hallelujah. The law does not condemn us to an eternity apart from God. But let's be careful and understand something. God has transformed His Word for us from a law, from standards and ideals that are absolutely unattainable, to make out of it for us who are regenerate now something that is good and something that is spiritual. something that helps us, that communicates about the nature and character of God, that gives us direction on how to live righteously, gives us commandments to show our love for God as we seek to follow Him. And following His leadership as the Spirit illuminates the law brings an end to conflict and frustration. But if you're led of the Spirit, no more sense of guilt and frustration and conflict. But we will have a joyful meekness that's characterized rather by being led by the Spirit as the Spirit illuminates the revelation of God, His Word, and gives us directions through the commandments of God. And this brings about or anticipates a great relief on our part as Christians. No condemnation, rather joyful obedience, rather the fulfilling the virtue of obedience. Let me tell you something, guys, girls. One of my colleagues mentioned this some months ago, and it stuck in my brain, and it's so true. The law of God, the Word of God, the revelation of God as the Spirit illumines us with it and strengthens us with it is to be obeyed. The commandments of God as an opportunity to obey are a way we show our love for God. Listen to 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. The virtue of sincere obedience is not legalism. It is Spirit-empowered Christian living to reflect the nature and the character of God. As we depend upon the Spirit of God, as He illumines the Word for us and leads us along in our choice-making in life as Christian people. What joy! What blessing! The commandments of God, followed as they are illumined by the Spirit of God, as we're empowered by the Spirit of God to follow them, are the means by which we bear much fruit. And herein are we His disciples, that we bear much fruit as Christians. As we walk by the Spirit, we can attain unto holiness and love. Loving holiness. Holy love. Which reflects God. Shall we pray? Father, help us, O Lord, to walk by Thy Spirit, to enjoy the strengthening of Thy Spirit as we come to the Word and the wonderful guidance of the law of God as it's illumined for us and our own hearts are strengthened to obey it. Now help us, Lord, to daily follow this command and know and enjoy the answer and the fulfillment of this promise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.